Welcome to the Flatlands Field and Foul Podcast with your hosts, Dwayne Dirksen and Tanner Friesen. Stay tuned for all kinds of hunting talk, outdoors talk, various other topics. You're sure to have a good time. You're in good hands.
Well, I don't even know where to begin.
Is there a place to begin?
Like,
we're back.
We're back. It is September the
28th.
Dang, I thought it was the 27th.
2019.
Here we are. When was our last? This is a couple weeks ago.
It wasn't that long of a hiatus.
We're doing better here.
Yeah, we're getting around to this whole podcast deal, warming up to it after 27 episodes, but it's not that many. But
what is this, number 17, I think? Ish? All yeah. Right, whatever it is. Could be. I'm not going to bother checking right now. It's hunting season is in full swing.
Yeah.
I was out this morning hunting geese. I shot a few geese this morning.
Congratulations. You tried something new out there, did you not?
Yeah, actually. Well, not necessarily. I've done it in the past. I've just never done it over decoys. So okay. Typically, I'll run layout blinds.
Okay, so now, decoys. So before you get too deep down that rabbit trail, explain that to a non-goose hunter. Because I'm sure we have a couple people here that are strictly ungulates.
Or not at all.
Or not at all.
So a layout blind. Okay, some people call it a coffin blind.
Okay.
So basically, you lay in a coffin on a field.
All right.
Essentially. And then it has these doors that go over top of your torso that as the geese come in, you want to shoot them. So you're laying on your back on the ground in this, we'll call it a coffin. And you kind of have your gun across your body. And you're kind of your back's at a bit of a low angle, you know, so you can kind of see. So you're not like laying flat on the ground, so you can actually see something. As the birds come in, you open your doors up, you sit upright, and you take your shots.
And that's quick. That's a quick movement.
It's a very quick
movement. You're not slowly creeping up here.
No.
When you say cut them.
Those doors fly open. Bang, bang, bang. Shotguns are out. Boys are blotching. Okay. So instead of that, today I figured I'd run a willow blind. So that's basically like a... What mine is, it's 12 feet by about 4 feet high of like a stucco wire, pretty much.
Okay.
So I've attached burlap and then I went and cut up some willows and little poplar trees and stuff like that and brushed the outside of it to make it look like a little bluff on a field.
Okay.
And it's big enough that I can have it in a circle and conceal two guys in there. And it actually worked out really well.
Okay.
We didn't shoot a limit or anything today, but... We also had a problem that there was no wind, which is a factor. That kind of sucked. But overall, running a willow blind, I've seen a lot of guys online doing it, and they've been having success. Like I've run it before, just past shooting birds as they're coming back to water in the evening.
Okay.
So you can kind of set up on a field close to water, and then as they come by, if you're lucky, you can pop shots at them.
Yeah.
And it's worked for me very, very well in that respect in the past. But again, yeah, today was the first time I've done it over decoys, and I will do it again. However, the one big folly on my part was I didn't think of how to sit in there. So me and Buddy, we were crouched or kneeling the whole time for hours this morning. And let me tell you, after an hour of that, with, you know, I'm not the oldest fella in the world, but these knees are up there in age. Boy.
They've seen some miles.
They've seen a few miles, and... They are sore and burnt out. Like, it took me not very long, and I was uncomfortable, and I was having a hard time standing up.
You gotta get yourself one of them little chairs like I have.
Yeah.
I think depending how tomorrow morning looks, I think that's coming with me.
Mm.
I think that thing might get the spritz treatment and then...
Yeah.
Unless I can find maybe a nice rock, but that's not always a guarantee.
Not always a guarantee, but... So yeah, or actually, what would also fit in there is like a cooler.
Yeah.
If you had a decent cooler, you could probably fit two cheeks on, or two sets of cheeks on there.
Or just run two coolers.
Well,
two smaller coolers.
Two smaller coolers, yeah.
Something with a good solid lid that you
can... I'm thinking run your average Coleman.
Yeah.
And you could fit two guys on there.
You'd be knee to knee.
That's fine.
But good enough. You mean you're spending that much time with, or that close to somebody anyway.
Yeah.
Might as well get to know them.
So that was my morning today, so.
Sorry to cut you off there, but this is going to be a story time podcast. This isn't just Mugs Battery this episode. You guys are in for a treat.
A bit of a treat.
Story time with the Duke boys. Maybe that's a new segment we can start.
Story time with the Duke boys.
Yeah, not bad.
Ba-dum-tsh.
So, Dwayne, why don't you lead us into the first part of this story?
So,
start with yesterday, because this is something that came up in conversation yesterday.
So, over the years, well, let's lay the basework here.
Sure, yeah, let's lay the groundwork.
You know, it was a Friday night, so we figured we'd go grab a drink at one of the local watering holes.
It had been quite a week.
Yeah, for both of us.
For both of us. Figured might as well get a...
You know, work isn't always your friend.
Rarely is your friend.
Yeah.
Except on payday. Then work's my best friend.
Yeah.
Anyways, continue.
So, we're hanging out, we're chatting, you know, going over life, etc. And we get talking about hunting deer because we're fixing on hunting deer together a couple times this year again. Just like last year. And we get to talking about an old spot that this old mug has been bantering about for the last number of years. About seeing deer there and lots of traffic and... Okay. We get to talking about it and looking at sat maps and everything and studying, you know, he's going over all the travel patterns that he's observed and realized over the years. And so I like what I see. So today we talk and, okay, we're going to go try this patch of ground here. I don't know how many acres. It's probably about a half a section.
Quarter section. Just under a quarter section. Okay.
Yeah.
Because there's those four or five lots on it that that take away from that full quarter. But
so, yeah, we kind of get a general plan of what we're going to do.
Yeah, we kind of thought about it. I mean, I'd been thinking about it most of the day.
Yeah.
I was out working in Kenora this morning and into the afternoon. So we were kind of playing it by ear on if I was going to be back on time to even get out. And
We got out a little bit later than we wanted to.
And we were both sweating. I mean, coming from my end, I was sweating a little bit when I got home. I was like, I don't even know if we should bother going back there.
Yeah, I was a little worried.
I figured we were going to bump some deer walking in there.
Like, because we had kind of, you know, earlier in the day, you had kind of made it sound like we'd be there at 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, that'll work.
Yeah.
That'll work.
Which we weren't actually that much later.
No, it was like 5:30, 5:45.
Well, I pulled in at about 20 after 5.
No.
Yeah. Well, maybe... No, that's not true. I left... Because I only left home at like 10 after 5.
Yeah. I think it was around 5:30-ish.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So from 5:30, that gives us...
basically 2
just
hours.
Over 2.5... Roughly 2.5 hours. A little bit less, perhaps. So we roll in. You know, we get our stuff... We get ourselves squared away, ready to go. Bows out and everything.
Ready to head downrange.
Give a little spritz of that no scent, or whatever you call that.
Dead downwind?
Yeah.
Which, I don't know if I can say it worked a whole lot. I mean...
I don't think it did.
I mean, I think it gives maybe, you... I think it takes care of the... Maybe, like, I think it takes care of the like the minor particulates on your body.
I guess, or your clothing at
on
least.
On your clothing, it's, yeah. But I mean, as for the whole scent blocker, you know, wash with... Scent block soap, and I don't buy that.
I don't buy that, no.
Play your wind right.
I wonder if maybe that shower I took after that hard 10K today, maybe I didn't catch all my BO.
No, you had a bit of a funk. I could smell you. When we were standing close together. Not bad. You just
really?
You just smelled like you worked out. Not like, holy shit, Dwayne, you need to... Sorry.
Okay, maybe this sweater needs a wash. Cause
Could be. But again, didn't think much of it.
I've been wearing these pants a number of days.
To be fair, we did a pretty good job today of playing the wind. Exactly.
Yeah, we had a northwest.
More of a northern wind than west. It was kind of a north-northwest wind.
Yeah. And so we entered in from the south, down a...
From the southeast side.
Yeah, from the southeast side, down a... I guess it's a bit of a quad trail kind of thing.
Yeah.
Riding up for a machine. Rotted it out, lots of water. It's been very wet. It's been raining cats and dogs the last couple weeks. Like, pretty close to every other day, every 2 days, and it'll rain for a couple days, and then it'll stop for a day or two, and then it'll rain again. We've had, like, altogether in the last couple weeks, probably... close to a foot altogether.
Oh, easily. Well, we got 6 inches in that one downspout.
That was last Friday.
Yeah?
A week ago, yeah.
Yeah, it was wild.
And then more this week and prior to that.
Coming tomorrow and Monday.
We're
shooting this on a Saturday night.
Yeah. Fresh out of the bush.
Fresh.
So, we set off. You know, packs out.
And we brought the camera.
I brought the DSLR today. So, I got a little bit of film. I mean...
Some pictures and...
Yeah, it'll be... Yeah, some good
content.
Interesting content. Yeah. We'll make something with it.
Yeah, absolutely. And, now granted, this is only our first hunt together this year.
Yeah.
So, there is some potential for...
Let's... More. How many times have you been out this year? This is number three?
Three. This is my third time out this year. All three times I have hunted that quarter section.
I think this is my... For deer, I want to say eighth time.
That makes sense.
Also, two weekends ago, I got my turkey for the fall. Actually, opening day.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Before we continue that story, tell us a little bit about that, because that's pretty neat. You never shot a turkey, have you?
Yeah.
Oh, you have?
Yeah. 7 years ago.
Okay.
7 years ago was my first turkey. That was my first time hunting turkeys. I didn't hunt turkeys again until opening day this year in fall. And I... Down at the farm, I've been patterning them since August.
Yeah.
I know exactly what they're doing and when they're doing it, so I managed to take myself a nice little Jake. So Thanksgiving, just got a little more wild this year.
Right on.
So I'm excited.
I get a cut of that. Hopefully there's a little bit of turkey left.
We'll see about that. I know my nieces are fired up.
Yeah, they're fired up.
I got me a text from my sister-in-law that last time there, after she showed them the picture, and those kids were just fired up, man.
Ready for some wild game.
Oh, man.
That's awesome.
I'm stoked. That's what it's all about, man.
Absolutely.
Right there. Getting these little girls to get fired up about this wild game, and it's like, man.
Oh, you're changing what the world's going away from.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I've been really stressing it. Like, every time they're over, we go around where the trophies are on the wall.
Yeah.
And we name each and every one of them. We go over the deer, we go to the turkey, we go to the small game, we go to the coyote, we go to the bear skull. We name them all, and then my mother, in the past, she had sold these nice pillows of some nice deer, nice bucks, $2. And we go look at them, we appreciate them, and then we carry on with whatever we're doing. Like, granted, these girls are 4 and 2, and they're fired up.
Yeah.
They're fired up.
That's wicked.
And
you can't ask for much more.
And when the first one was young, I bought her a nice, it's like a stuffed animal. It's a deer. It's a nice white-tailed buck.
Yeah.
And like it's big enough that it stands on its own, and it's got a nice rack on it. And then the other one I bought are like a matching moose.
Okay.
So they each have a nice stuffed animal with a nice set of antlers on there.
Cool. So you're really...
They love them.
Yeah, you're really getting them into the outdoor lifestyle.
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And when they're down, I like to take them out for walks all the time. We'll go see some geese in the field nearby, and they'll get fired up. There's the geese. Look at the geese. Let's go find some gooses. Oh, yeah, they get fired up, man.
That is mint. Honestly, like, there's something about a child getting fired up for nature that just, like, I don't know.
I've been
gets a fella fired up.
I've just been really stressing it, like, we gotta appreciate these animals, we gotta love them.
Yeah.
But they're also our table fare.
Yeah.
And we love it.
We are top of the food chain for a reason.
Yes, absolutely. So, if you wanna disagree with that, you can meet me in the back alley.
Drop us a line.
Send me location.
Yeah. Okay, so you got your turkey.
Got my turkey.
Ready for Thanksgiving.
Ready for Thanksgiving.
So we head out.
Yeah, I'm excited.
I mean, I would be too. I've wanted to shoot turkeys for a while. I think it'd be. I want to call one in. Yeah. That just sounds. You might have to get yourself checked out on that one, old son. Anywho. So.
Where were we?
We're walking into this
said location.
Section of land that I've hunted before.
So it's kind of, there's a lot of like oak and poplar and that kind of trees around. Lots but of
it's
underbrush.
It's very distinct in where it is. Like the oak is in kind of one area. Yeah. It's very oaky in one area. And yeah. Then there's a yeah. big stand of poplar.
And then there's more oak and there's more poplar.
Yeah.
Like it alternates.
Yeah. But it's not a general mix.
Yeah. And then there's like a small meadow. Or clearings, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, a little low spot there.
Yeah. And there's game trails just hard. I was impressed.
Yeah, like, I know.
Now, whatever you've been saying, it's lining up pretty near perfect.
I wasn't pulling somebody's leg when I said that land is hot.
I never figured that, but I...
When you don't see it, you know, you kind of have a hard... When somebody says, oh, this land I got is hot, it's like, yeah, well, really, how hot is it? Like... You haven't taken a deer off there yet. So, how hot can it be, right?
Yeah.
So, we set off and we get some good footage. And
yeah.
We're kind of... I won't say... We definitely weren't being careful with how much noise we made walking in.
No, we weren't being...
But we weren't being haphazard either.
No.
So, like, we were kind of right in the middle. We were cautious, but we were also trying to make up
our game. Our first time out together this year, so we were... You know,
getting the obligatory pictures and
yeah,
interviews
all that jazz
and exactly.
You know, just having a grand old time. It's Saturday, I mean.
And to be honest, like with being so late in, I mean, my mentality was let's walk around, see what we can see, and get a game plan for another day.
Yeah, exactly. I wanted to see the lay of the land.
Yeah,
which granted, I didn't really see a whole lot of.
We didn't really see it. We didn't get the chance to
because
that was coming up later in the story.
Yeah,
but so anyways, we. There was one area that I'd wanted to check out on the edge of a cornfield.
Yeah.
That we never ended up getting to. The map showed that there was a fork in the trail. I never saw the fork. I think it was just before that creek that you had wanted to go down. Remember that little creek bottom?
Yeah.
Where we're like, oh, we should go down there, and then we thought, wow, it's going to be loud.
Yeah. I wasn't really saying let's go down there. I was just like, holy cow, like there's a trail here. Like,
oh,
this is hot.
I thought you were saying let's go down
there.
I'm like, oh, that's going to be loud. That's why I said it's going to be loud. Yeah. But anyway, so we...
I was wondering why you're like, that's going to be loud. Well, yeah, I don't want to go down there. I'm like, this is like a nice game trail.
Our communication skills need
today, it was not very good.
We were not in sync. Which is,
although, when I told you, come to me, but go around, you're like... Come to you and go around. I'm like, come to me and go around. Come to you and go around? Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Yeah. I was.
Yeah.
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 Okay.
It was a good non-verbal communication.
And then, unnamed Cervid was watching, and I gave you those hand signals.
Yeah, I was watching those.
And yeah. We need to have like a YouTube live and you can see my hand signals.
It was impressive. Yeah, we do need to get on that. We need to invest in a camera.
I can fire that up.
We need to invest in a camera. A good camera.
Yeah.
A video camera,
I think I can hotwire my DSLR to do that.
Well, then you got to wreck a DSLR.
No.
Well,
not actual hotwire.
I wouldn't hotwire anything.
No. I'm just using that as a term.
Oh, okay.
But I don't know how to do that. Hey, if you know how to hook up a Canon T3 to do YouTube live, let me know. Anyways.
Also, it would be nice if you could get a camera that doesn't have a shutter click. You know what I mean?
Yeah, then you can't have a DSLR, though.
Yeah. Regardless.
That sensor has to do that.
Yeah. Fair enough. It's just loud.
I know. Could you hear every time? Like, every when I was time. Taking videos, yeah. then it always does that sound as well?
No, I couldn't really hear it on the videos. Okay. So anyways, we come across... We're getting to our destination where I had wanted to get to, which was the clearing.
Close to that little pond there.
Yeah. And edge last year...
Edge of an alfalfa.
Yeah. In between... So that alfalfa is... Well, that's a perfect label. Dwayne's peeling his label. He must be lonely.
I won't disagree.
So...
Going for the big label.
Ultra lonely.
Anyways.
That's not... It doesn't mean lonely. It means something else. But anyways.
I know. I know what it means.
Okay. I'm just making sure. Because I can't help you with that issue. Anywho, so this alfalfa field is sandwiched between this...
I'm lonely for big bucks, that's what I'm lonely for. Yeah,
big racks.
Anyways.
Clearing and a cornfield.
Yeah.
So it's got a good food source there. Especially with all the acorns in the area.
Oh yeah, lots of oaks.
Tons of acorns.
Acorns. Yellow acorns, they're worth their weight in gold. It's a song by the Bone Collector Boys.
Okay.
Actually, Thomas Rhett's dad and Dallas Davidson, they do an album for Bone Collector. It's really good. You should check it out.
Alright. Quick little plug there. So we get to this clearing, and we're traipsing through this beside the Trans-Canada Highway of trails.
Of Servant Trail.
Yeah. And I give Dwayne one of the, oh, deer. And sure enough.
There's a little spike.
No.
Oh, sorry.
No, that wasn't a spike. There was a young 2x2, maybe 3x2, something along those lines. I saw 3 on one side. And so he saw us right away. And we were
stock still.
Yeah, we stood still and I don't know, maybe what, 25 seconds, 30 seconds? Maybe a minute even.
I think it was close to a minute. It was actually a while.
Yeah, we were standing there for a while. He just watched us and then...
He flicked his tail, turned around, and just kind of hopped in the bush.
Yeah. No big deal.
No, it wasn't a big deal. I was happy with that.
Yeah, and like, then we waited another while.
We commented that. It was like, hey, we're good. Like, yeah. We're solid. We're okay.
Yeah, we're good.
There's a chance he's going to come around and see what's going on.
And that's what we were waiting for.
I thought for sure he was going to.
So we were maybe 50 yards from the edge of the... From cover.
From a destination. Good cover.
So we figured, well, we waited maybe 5 minutes, and like, okay, now we got to get out of the open. Like, we got to get somewhere hunkered down.
I don't think, yeah, okay, whatever.
I remember that was a comment.
The time doesn't really matter, I guess. We waited a bit.
We waited a bit. No, I know.
We didn't hear any crashing in the bush. There was no blowing, so the deer wasn't too fired up.
No, just probably a little concerned for what we were.
Yeah.
Decided to step off.
He stepped off.
So we head on down the dusty trail. That's not so dusty because it's soaking wet.
That's why I wore my muck boots.
Yeah, your muck's out. And we get to a tree, and I'm looking just over top of Dwayne's head.
That's a perfect label.
You've been really fixated on that label.
I haven't done this in about five years.
You can tape that to your truck somewhere?
I think so.
Oh, that reminds me of your workshop. Might need you to sharpen a knife for me.
Oh, yeah, I got that canned onion workshop. And I'll put this shameless plug, and I'm not sponsored. That thing works good. Anyways.
Well, you can try on my swing blades. Mm. Just on the one edge. So we are looking over top of Dwayne's head, and lo and behold, there's a spike. So now, for those following along at home, we've seen 2 deer in...
15 minutes?
15 minutes, if that. So,
granted, from my position, I had a hard time seeing that spike.
Yeah. He was a fork.
Yeah.
At best. So, take it away. One down. 5 to go.
Who am I kidding?
Yeah. 6 to go.
What?
So, we watched that spike for a considerable amount of time.
And then he stepped off.
And he did the same thing, stepped into the bush.
But he just meandered off.
Yeah, he didn't notice us.
No.
Which I was a little nervous about because we were upwind of him.
Yeah.
And I figured at some point he was going to catch our wind. But lo and behold, he browsed his way off.
Yeah. I thought he was going to come our way.
So did I. And I was already, the angel on one shoulder and the devil on the other was already contemplating, are you ready to end your season on a deer like that?
Yeah.
And I was watching through my knockers and I was thinking, I mean, I'll take meat in the freezer any day of the week.
Yeah.
Right?
Fella was hungry.
However,
things have changed.
But Durin always says, don't pass up something on the first day that you wouldn't be happy with taking on the last day. Mm-hmm. So he steps off, so we don't even get the opportunity.
No, we had no shot.
So we hunker down.
Yeah.
Beside a couple of trees, maybe.
Along the edge of the alfalfa.
Yeah, 10 yards from
there. There's a nice deer highway about 23 yards in front of us.
Yep. A big trail cut into.
Because I ranged it.
Yep.
Obviously.
And we were, I mean, for me, on my side of things, I was waiting for the bigger of the 2 bucks to come walk down that trail.
Yeah.
And hit the pond behind us, which has activity everywhere.
Oh my goodness. There's like you said, the Trans-Canada of deer trail.
It's insane.
Running through there.
Yeah. It's wild.
Yeah. Well, there's probably like 5 or 6 Trans-Canadas down there.
Yeah. Like it's Portage and Maine.
In there.
It's wild.
Yeah.
So we waited there for a while.
Yeah, we sat there a while, and then
I came up and I approached you.
Yeah.
And we looked at each other and kind of said, "What do we do now?"
So we couldn't see terribly far down the alfalfa.
No, that's the other thing. The way that's set up is from where we were sitting. That bush line, it's not a straight bush line. It actually curves out.
Yeah.
Like it's not a straight shot. So you actually have to jump on the alfalfa field
to get a peek
down to either side of the bush.
A whole half mile.
Yeah.
So, you know, we meet up there. I mean, we were never terribly far apart, but we hold conference there, and we're thinking. And then it's like, hey, we got to check the alfalfa here. We got to step out. We got to take a little quick risk here. And we were pretty content with just sitting there and waiting for something to come down that trail, hoping for the best. But we were crouched down, and both of our knees were getting a little bit stiff and sore.
And to be fair, that's a good game plan. Like,
yeah,
especially
absolutely.
With all the activity and knowledge that I have there, I was very content on our odds were, the odds were in our favor of just sitting there and waiting.
May the odds ever be in your favor.
I've never seen one of those movies in my life, to be honest
They're
with you.
They're actually really good.
Are they? I've never seen one. I've never seen Harry Potter either.
Me neither.
Wasting my time.
But The Hunger Games is actually pretty good.
I might have to dabble.
I was actually shocked. Plus, it's Jennifer Lawrence. And I
mean, J-Law.
Can't complain.
Can't confirm. Yep.
Anyways. So, we check the alfalfa. We step out. We're looking around, and we see...
Well, hold on. Hold on. We're missing a crucial point. Before we jumped on the alfalfa, we both said, we gotta head south. Let's go south. Let's see what's down there. That was just before we crossed the drainage.
But we were kind of skeptical about that, though, because they would have our wind. Granted, the wind wasn't very strong.
No. So, anyway.
Which it picked up later on.
It did.
So, we conferred, and we're like, okay, we gotta check the alfalfa. So we step out. We're looking around, glassing.
Yep.
And we see this doe to the north. So it's about, 300 yards probably away?
Yeah, about 350.
Down the fence line there. Okay, there's a doe down there. Okay, that's great. Another deer pops out. Okay, great. Another deer. No problem.
Another doe? I thought it was a doe.
That might even be more than 300 yards the way it looked.
Oh, yeah. Like, I looked through my knockers and I was like, okay, I got two does on that field.
Yeah.
And I remember making the comment, like, it happens fast here. Like, they just... All of a sudden, they're there.
Yeah.
You don't know it, but
That's how it always is on those fields, though, pretty much. All of a sudden, they show up, and they're halfway down, and you're like, what?
Yeah. When did you...
Where was I?
Yeah. What was I doing? Clicking like on Instagram. Probably. But...
Cruising.
Yeah.
Scrolling.
Keyboard warriors.
So...
We gloss up two does.
Or so we thought. Okay.
Yeah. So we thought.
And granted, Did we even have the knockers out then?
Yeah.
Okay.
I had my knockers. Actually, they weren't even in my chest rig. They were just laying on my stomach. And
I had left mine in the truck because I'm an idiot. Idiot.
I should have said something. Anywho, we gloss up these does. Now, at this point, we're standing, you know, a couple feet onto the alfalfa field.
Yeah.
And
we're just looking.
Trying to get a game plan on what we should do at this point, right?
We're really anticipating movement down that trail that we're set up for, which is just over 20 yards away from us.
Yeah, and really good shooting opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. And potential trap from both directions.
Yeah.
From north and south. So, we're looking. You know, we're keeping an eye on these deer to the north. And then all of a sudden,
thinking they're going to go west. They're going to hammer down that fence line and go
west. Yeah, I was told, the first doe was buggering down there, actually, yeah. And then the second one, the supposed doe was... It got hung up. And it kind of started heading south towards us. And all of a sudden, or I should say, it just kept on browsing, kept on coming through the alfalfa.
At a nice steady pace. Never a quick pace.
Steady browse.
Yeah, really. Just kind of munching his way to the pond.
Yep, absolutely.
You know, he's eating his way to the kitchen to grab a drink.
Smart fella. As I do. And all of a sudden, through the knockers, Mr. Friesen realizes that is a very large buck. A toad, some would call it.
He's a big one.
We call him Phil.
That is his name as of right now, Phil.
Phil. So, you ever seen a horse on a field? Well, this is a deer horse on a field.
Big.
I'm baffled how we missed that at first.
Well, and
I think we were just set that, okay, the first one was a doe, this one's probably a doe. Not anticipating to really see a big buck.
Well, I had never, and you know, part of it's my fault. I was using kind of past experiences, but I had never seen a buck in that corner of the field.
Yeah.
So I know that right around the time that first doe stepped out, that usually five or six does just kind of convene there.
That's usually how it works, though.
Exactly. So I kind of, you know, I saw the body and I was like, "Hey, that's a doe. Let's focus more on the two bucks that we saw at 30 yards than
the doe south, at not to the north.
To the south than the doe we have at 350 yards to the north. Like, that's out of our realm.
Yeah, that's a long stock and there's no cover.
There is, but we didn't. We weren't confident in that cover yet. Now, granted, we had both said that we would consider taking a doe.
Yeah.
One more than the other.
Yeah.
So, for different reasons.
Yeah, but that's besides the point.
We're not getting into that. Anywho. So, I am looking through the binoculars, and there is this gray haze above this doe's head. And for the life of me, I can't figure it out until he decides to bury his nose in that alfalfa. And that gray turns to a pearl white.
I've never seen you get so fired up so quick.
That was instantaneous. Like, the first thing that came out of my mouth, my knockers didn't even have a chance to leave my face, was, "Dwayne, that's a bruiser. Like, that's a big buck."
"That's a big buck," he said. And then you look at it again, "That's a big buck." You look at it again, "That's a big buck." You pass me the knockers, "That's a big buck."
Yeah.
You know, we're getting fired up
here. I mean, we're 350 yards away. So, you know,
this is a deer horse, literally.
What you're seeing isn't even close to what, you know, it can be up close, right? So right then and there, we made the decision.
We were like,
"Are we going for it?"
You posed the question, "Are we going for this or not?" And I didn't hesitate.
There was a split second before it was out of your mouth. And I don't even know why I asked the question. I knew what the answer was.
I think I was like, "Should we go after him?" I was like, "Look at you. Yes.
Yes. Why are you asking?"
Yes.
I think the reason maybe I asked the question was,
Well, we thought that we had deer to ourselves.
Yeah, and I think
which that we could have, which we well we did later on, but
yeah, and I think maybe that was in the back of my mind, just that okay, we have deer to the south. Are we gonna risk
a supposed safer bet?
Yeah. So we decide that we're gonna go for this deer now.
Yeah.
And no sooner do we decide that we're gonna go for this deer, this buck,
this big old buck,
this bruiser. Does he decide to start walking southbound?
Yeah.
Putting his head down and coming. A rather quick browse.
Yeah.
So
quicker than normal.
You were out getting... You went to your pack,
mm-hmm.
which is just across the drainage. You went to your pack. Well, and you're kind of getting...
7 yards away.
Yeah, getting yourself set up. And I saw him turn and I remember saying, "We gotta if we're going to go, we got to go now. Yeah, like, we have to move quick." So we made probably more noise than we should have getting ourselves set up and then around that bluff.
Yeah, we got around that bluff by the pond. We dropped our packs.
Yep.
You got set up along the alfalfa line so you could watch.
Yep.
And you're like, "Do you want this deer?"
Yeah.
I looked at you and I said, "Why are you asking that? Don't you want it?"
Because I'm a nice guy.
And you're like, "Do you want this deer?" I'm like, "Yeah." And then I went.
I said, "If you want it, go for it."
Yeah.
Not that I was turning down that deer or that deer was too good for me. But I think in that moment, I would have been more excited for you to kill that deer than I would have been to kill that deer.
At least it would have been me missing the shot, not you.
Well, hey.
No, we would have
killed that deer.
We would have tapped that guy.
But I don't know. I think in that moment, I was more excited for you to kill that deer than me. Now, granted, we both haven't had a great look at this deer yet.
No.
Even by the time we were set up, like, I was sitting kind of beside a tree on a rock, kneeling on a rock, and I had my knockers out, and I was kind of just watching him see what he was doing, and you were beside me for a couple minutes, and you said, "I got to get up to that brush."
Yeah, I wanted to get up. There was some red brush there. I thought we should have gone there first. That's what I had said. I don't know if you had heard me or not.
No, I never heard it.
So I was like, "We got to get to that red brush there." So that was about, from where you dropped off, that was probably, what, 30 yards?
Yeah, 25. Yeah, 30
yards. So I said, "We should get to that red brush." And then you buggered in there, like, where you went.
Yeah.
About 25 yards to the south of that. Like, well, okay.
Which I think...
I'll join you there for a minute.
Which I think, I mean, it definitely worked out because I was able to keep eyes on.
Yeah.
Like, I was able to keep... Had we both been where you were, I think we would have lost him.
I think it would have been okay. Because he was still at a point where we could have made it there. And I think that it would have been okay.
Yeah.
Although, yeah, in my mind, I think it would have worked.
Yeah, I mean...
And there was a little hill there, right, where the brush really gets thick.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a pain in the butt. Although...
I was worried about standing the whole time, though. I didn't want to be standing with my head on a flagpole. I wanted to be kind of tucked down with at least some... Like, I had a whole bunch of brush behind me that I could kind of silhouette into.
At least, well, if you would have come up with me, you could have, like, sat behind that hill to the south side. Yeah, and you could have, like, just peeked out the whole time. I think that would have worked.
Bull rushes were pretty tall there, though.
Yeah.
But either way, like... We made the decision, I made the decision to hang 25 yards back. I also figured that it would give Dwayne a chance to be, if that deer was coming my way and decided to stop 40 yards in front of me, he would be 5 yards from you, right?
Yeah.
Like, I knew that if he was going to see anyone, he was going to see me.
Exactly.
And he wasn't going to worry about you.
Yeah.
He was just going to keep walking until he realized what I was. And I was hoping by that point... There was
a shot.
An arrow double lunged, and he was feeling like he was going to
take
a dirt
carved already.
Yeah, take a dirt nap.
That slick trick, grizz trick, too, ripping through them blood vessels,
them vitals.
That double lung hitter,
get in there. So you went up to the brush.
Yeah. So granted, okay, from where we first seen this buck, this doe that became a buck. You, like, where you sat, we bumped up.
Did we just assume? Did we assume?
We assumed a gender
when we saw it. We're one of those people, eh?
Yeah. Reg, I hope you call me out on that, or call us out on that.
Yeah, I better see something on Instagram.
About I want to see a response to that in some fashion.
At least.
King Reginald 19, hit me up. Hit us up.
At two Idiots Podcast. Check them out. I think we shout them out every time.
But yeah.
It's worth it.
I think so.
Couple good guys.
Yeah.
We gotta have them on one time.
Yeah. So from where we had first seen this buck, we bumped up collectively probably, 50, 60 yards?
Yeah.
So we closed in a bit of ground, so then I bumped up another 25, 30 from there. And you walked me in there with signals that I couldn't figure out for the life of me later on. You were fired up.
I was, you know what, it's hard
You were fired up because you had eyes on this deer.
And that's the thing.
And I couldn't see anything.
I'm watching this deer get closer and closer, and I'm seeing, different things about him. Also, obviously being able to see through the knockers. I mean, again, at this point, when I'm giving you signals, he's still 250.
Yeah.
Right?
I'm blind as a bat. I can't see nothing. Like, there's trees, and there's rust, there's this thick.
Go this way, go that way, hold on.
Hey, like,
whatever.
I'm like, what?
Sit tight, whatever. And, I'm trying to do this all while watching the binoculars, right? Because, I'm still a little in the open where I was getting a little nervous that he was going to spot me.
Which he never did.
He never did, which is surprising because I was standing, at points, it felt like I was right in the middle of the alfalfa field, just waving at him. But
you had that popper right behind you the whole time.
Yeah, I know.
You were in a good spot.
Well, I'm glad that I got to that spot. Thank you. But anyway, so you got there.
I finally got there.
After some botched signals and some terrible nonverbal communication between the boys.
And you had your phone on you, but I had, where we had dropped our packs.
You had left your phone
on
your
pack. I had left my phone there too.
Yeah.
Because I keep it on my, my belt holster on my pack. So it was sitting there. Which is kind of nice, a little bit of time away from the cell phone.
Oh, yeah, it's good. It would have been nice to text.
Because if somebody would have Snapchatted me, I would probably been like, I would have probably gotten fired up that somebody Snapchat me while there's a big buck coming down the field.
Really? Oh, I would have been able to turn that up. My phone was vibrating the whole time I was watching that deer, and I couldn't care less. Like, I had probably 15 notifications.
Okay.
And I was like, you guys are nowhere near as important.
I was in full concentration, so I probably would have got fired up.
That's true.
Like, you guys, leave me alone for a minute.
Yeah, there's a giant walk in my
There's way. A giant. Well, probably, top two biggest deer I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah. Easily the biggest buck I've seen alive in my life. Like, in person.
Yeah, biggest buck I've ever seen.
He was big. He was
Although,
big. I
think his body was bigger than Gearhart. I don't know if his antlers were as big.
No, I would say, from what I saw, Gearhart, he was pretty, body size was bigger, but antlers, I don't know if he was as big.
It was very close,
though. Yeah. He was a different antler setup, though, too.
Yeah.
Like, he was very, very tall.
Yes. And then he... He poked inwards.
Yeah.
Which was very
Especially nice. For this area.
Yeah.
I was taken back because everybody knows that the bucks in this area are short and wide.
Yeah.
That's just how they are. That's the genetic we have. But this guy, and dark horned. This guy was ice white, tall, and narrow.
And he come in to the center.
Yeah. Yeah, and he wasn't hit.
Like, his
main beams, he was a basket buck.
Yeah. Well, I think a basket buck would mean he's a bit smaller.
Yeah, but his main beams, the tips of his manes.
They were close.
Very, very close.
He probably would have scored well.
Oh,
I should say
he
will score well.
He is gonna taste good.
Yeah.
So I get to weigh in this spot.
We're fired up.
My heart is racing. I'm having a hard time holding binoculars because I'm so excited for this. Because this is hands down the most excited I've been since hunting since I shot my buck.
Yeah.
Last year I had fun hunting, but I wasn't excited. It wasn't like my heart was pounding something's about to happen here.
Yeah.
Something's about to give. And obviously, it would have been super cool to watch you take that shot and put that buck down and celebrate with you on a giant deer, a true giant deer.
Yeah.
That would have been super cool. So he come in there and he's probably 50, 45 yards from Dwayne at this point. Okay, yeah. He's walked all the way
and
in.
So by this time, I'm pretty much, I'm trying to see the deer through the brush and everything. I can't see much.
It's pretty thick right
now. Yeah, I can't see a whole lot. I could have like a decent warning, probably about 20 yards, 25 yards in front of me, but that's about it. So my whole warning system is based on your reactions.
Yeah.
So I'm watching you a lot.
Yeah.
And I see you starting to get extra fired up.
Yeah.
And I realize what that means. It's like, okay, then I started getting fired up.
Yeah. Which maybe I didn't control it anymore, but I couldn't control it. I was sitting here, I had my binoculars up, and I'm looking at you, and I'm looking at my binoculars, and I'm thinking, like, okay, like, it's minutes. Like, yeah. It's seconds.
I thought for sure.
It's seconds until you are going to see the tips of his manes come through that brush, and it's going to be lights over 10 seconds after that.
Yeah.
And so I'm watching Dwayne, and I can see you're getting a little antsy. You're starting to get a little impatient, and I'm sitting there, in my head, I'm thinking, okay, Dwayne, just be patient.
What got me impatient there was, I thought you wanted me to go on top of that little hill, and I didn't want to go on top of there.
Oh, no, I was just saying, stay put, so or keep moving.
Like, just to the east side of that little hill, that's where I wanted to stay, like, where I stayed later on.
East side or west side?
The east side.
Okay.
So the west side would be alfalfa.
Yeah.
So just on the east side, I wanted to stay back there, because I thought that I would have better cover back there, and I could potentially get a better shot instead of being on top of that little hill.
Yeah.
And I thought I'd be too exposed there. Because I'd be at full draw waiting for...
From the top of the hill.
From the top of the hill with less cover.
So I figured you'd be shooting down. That was my thought.
I wanted to shoot over top of that hill.
Pulling down and be kind of high enough that he's not going to catch you in his...
Peripheral. See, I wanted to be...
A little bit behind
A little
there.
Bit set back. Because where he would have crossed in front of me, that would have been the perfect shot.
Yeah.
But anyways, that's irrelevant. And I could have taken that shot from my knees, too, because that hill was only like 2.5 feet high.
That's great for your accuracy.
Yeah.
So I'm watching him come in, and
while he's coming, I'm hearing all kinds of things off to the northeast.
Yeah.
Like down that trail, just beyond that trail.
Now, looking back on it, makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
That you were hearing all that. Because you, at one point, you had pointed your ears. And
I was like...
Because you had... My interpretation of what you were saying is, did he go into the bush? Because I'm hearing stuff over here. And I was trying to tell you, no, I see him. He's right there. And no sooner did I say he's right there, did he decide to completely deviate.
Yep.
Walked off. Just gone. Like, I looked at the deer. I looked at Phil, the Phil buck, we'll call him. And I looked at you, and I looked back, and he was gone. And my first thought was, shit. Like, my heart sunk.
He stepped off.
I'm like, there's no way that he got within 40 yards of Dwayne.
Yeah.
And now he's just going to walk off. Like, there's no way that this is the way it's going to play out. I'm sorry, but it can't play out like that. So then that's when I told you, get over to the other side.
Yeah.
Like, at least get to the trail. Maybe he's coming around.
Yeah.
A long way.
I was like, okay, that's very possible. Maybe he stepped in. He's going to come in.
Get a little bit of cover.
Come
right
back into that opening. Come to the water hole through there. Which is very possible.
Yeah.
And the whole time I'm hearing all this stuff, but I can't see anything down there.
Yeah.
And you're looking at me, looking for...
Now, my line of sight is gone. Like, my eyes are useless.
It's up to me.
Yeah.
It's up to me. So I'm, like, trying to peek over these trees and everything, and little brush and everything. I'm like, I look at you, hands up in the air, like...
I don't know what's going on.
I can't see anything. And I'm like, I don't know what to do. Like, I'm kind of caught in the middle here. Like, my spotter can't see anything, and...
Yeah.
I can't see anything, and I'm not sure what to
do. Clear high, clear low.
And then all of a sudden, I look back at you.
You're pointing.
And I'm like, get over
to the other side.
Get in there. So I get back to that little hill, and this time, like, previously I had gone on top of the hill, and this time I'm like, no.
I am tucking back,
and I look at you, and I was like, I thought you were going to point me to go up the hill, because I thought you wanted me on the hill. I'm like, no, I'm not going on the hill. And then you didn't point me that way, so I was like, okay.
No, you know what, when you went back, I'm like, you know what, it's actually better, let him sit put there.
Because
you know what, if he needs to, he can crawl up that hill.
Yeah.
If he wants to get that shot.
Yeah. And so, I was extremely comfortable with just being set back.
Yeah.
Because that would have been like a 20-yard shot.
Oh, that would have been money.
That would have been gravy.
That would have been a money shot. That would have been a pass through.
Yeah. Yeah.
He would have been getting the red carpet treatment.
Literally.
Oh, man. So, I had seen this deer poke his nose out from farther back than he was. So, he was about 40 yards from you, which means like he had closed a lot of distance.
Yeah.
So, he must have went in the bush, did a loop, and came back out. For whatever reason, I don't know, maybe he wanted some acorns, you know, get wash the alfalfa down. I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe he was just getting fired up and wanted to change the scenery for
me. Maybe, yeah. He had to take a minute. He was getting fired up on that alfalfa. So he come out.
Fixing on getting a little thick.
Yeah, getting
thick. Brendan Scrub thick.
Oh, he's hitting the Deca. So he poked his nose out there. And my heart dropped again. I'm like, ah, he's far away. And now, okay, we had been there for at least 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Of kind of cat and mousing it and being patient and waiting and waiting. And we're both, I think, at this point getting a little antsy.
Yeah.
Like, what is there something we should be doing? So I signaled to you and, like, let out a couple grunts.
Yeah.
Let's get some grunts going. You know, maybe we can just... Maybe he'll be curious enough to want to... Nah, I can't English.
You can't word today,
I can't English.
If he'd be curious enough to get fired up and come down...
Well, to bachelor up.
Yeah.
Right? But then I noticed, hold the phone here, he's with another shooter buck.
And you're giving me these signals on... By now, we've got our signals down.
Yeah, I thought I'd communicated that pretty well.
I'm looking at you, and you're giving me these hand signals above your head... And you're giving me the count of the times.
Oh,
and then you give me like a, you give me a two, and I give you a two back.
Like two what?
No, I was like, I thought you meant two deer, or 2 bucks. You give me a two back, like I didn't understand. I was like, really? Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm getting fired up again.
Yeah. So the second buck, which is unnamed,
we got a good name for that.
We'll come up with a good name.
Phil and the unnamed. We'll figure it out.
Yeah, I'll figure something. I'm going to rack my brain too hard trying to think of it. It needs to be a natural name, too. Like Phil. Phil was a natural name. It's mm-hmm. a natural fit. So, this buck comes out with his buddy, which is what he must have went into the bush to find.
Yeah.
Like, he must have heard that buck coming and was like, oh, well, here, let's
this
hang
time
out.
Of year, they're still bachelors.
Yeah, they're still buddies. They're not quite pissed off each other yet.
They're not hanging out, you know, they're hanging out at the lake. Or they're not hanging out at the lake, but, you know, they're hanging out.
Yeah. Like, they're still seeing each other from time to time. They're polite. They'll say hi.
They're grabbing a bite to eat.
Oh, they might go for a breakfast one morning. They'll catch up. Maybe a cup of coffee.
Yeah. No harm, no foul.
See each other in public. They're not going to be mean.
No.
So, I'm telling Dwayne, 2 deer. 2 bucks.
Yeah.
Two, well,
so I gather that good much. Bucks. I gather that much.
And then a third buck decides to step out.
And I vividly remember you gave me the 3 symbol. And I think I was like,
no.
And I gave it right back to you.
Yep. And I was like, yes.
Pretty much like, what? Like, just dumbfounded.
Like, not possible.
Like, this is odd.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, well, these are the bachelor boys.
Yeah.
But I thought just big, I thought Phil was not going to be bacheloring. I thought he was going to be too big for that.
That big, yeah. He'd be alpha male.
But clearly, that theory is out the window.
She gone.
She gone.
So, 4th buck walks in.
Yeah.
So now we have a group of 4 deer, so, 3 of which are... Very good shooters.
I'm focused looking north at looking at
you're trying to
shrubberies.
Look yeah.
You're I look back to you and you unfurl the number 4 signal and I look back at you and I unfurl the number 4 signal and then you give me the count of antlers and everything and I'm even more dumbfounded.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, we have a true bachelor group here.
It was wild.
No ifs, ands, or buts.
That's a good time for a break, I think. Little pause for our sponsors.
Yeah, why not? You know, I just want to say thanks, if I could speak English here. I just want to say thanks to all of our loyal listeners.
for sticking with us through all of our ups and downs of all of a sudden not producing episodes and then all of a sudden producing episodes and et cetera and just bannering and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
For sticking with us.
Thank you for the listens, and hopefully we're somewhat entertaining.
I hope so.
And tell your friends about us.
Tell them all.
Tell your family.
Tell your preacher.
Tell your daughters, if you have them, and if, they're if, of age.
If they're of age and single, and looking for some outdoorsy fellas.
We might know a few. I know a guy.
I know a guy.
But no, seriously, thanks for all the support. And as always, we'd love to hear from you guys on what you'd like to hear out of us.
Yeah.
Now with it being hunting season and stories like the one you're hearing are rolling in, it will be majority hunting, I would hope. But there will be some more bantering in there for sure.
Sure, why not?
But yeah, let us know what you want to hear.
Yeah, let us know. Let us snow.
Let us snow.
Just kidding. Don't snow yet,
not
please. Yet.
We're not ready.
Although last year, by now, we had snowed once or twice.
Yeah. Well, the first time we got snow, we were... We had squishy boots. Well, one of us had squishy boots.
I had the squishy boots.
Now back to your regularly scheduled programming.
Where were we?
Okay, so $4. You're dumbfounded. I'm...
Dumbfounded.
I'm dumbfounded as well, because I mean, I haven't seen this much success out of this land yet. And I'm a little down because the $2 that we're really watching are farther away. They're probably at about 200.
Yeah.
And they're actually headed west.
Yeah. Into the alfalfa.
Into the alfalfa. So I'm thinking about myself.
There's really, because we didn't trust that trail that follows the bushland following the alfalfa.
I knew the trail, but my biggest fear was we were going to create so much noise and disturbance walking through there that we were going to push them farther west.
Yeah.
So I kind of made my mind up saying we should stay put. Let's just see.
Yeah.
We do have some light left. Let's see if we can get them.
But granted, we didn't have that much light left.
We didn't. So we basically...
We sat there.
We sat there and we waited. And grunted and bleated.
Yeah.
And after a little while, I came up to join you.
Yeah, I gave you some stellar hand signals.
Oh, prime. Before the hand signals, those $2 had actually browsed their way into about 100.
Yeah.
About 100 yards. And that's when I decided to come up. Because they had been sitting there for a considerable amount of time.
They were just hanging out.
Yeah.
And we were probably about 35 minutes left of shootable light.
If that. Yeah.
So I was like, you come to me and you come around to me. And then you signal back to me, come around to you. And I said, come around to me. And you said, come around to you. And I was like, thumbs up.
Perfect. There we go.
And you started coming. And I had eyes on the big buck now, on Phil. And friend, unnamed friend.
Phil and friends.
Yeah. Phil,
we call him Cy.
Hey,
there we go.
Phil and Silas.
Because he's a little. He had a very, very white face.
Yeah. Okay, Phil and Cy.
There's another thing about this buck that I forgot to mention. But Buddy. Not Phil.
No.
His friend, Cy. Which we'll call Cy, he was extremely white faced. Like, almost to the point where you'd think that could be. Like a half albino deer.
Yep.
Very, very white.
Yep.
With very dark antlers.
Yep.
So Phil and Cy, I'm game with that.
Phil's taking on a whole new meaning now.
It has.
We could probably forget the initial name. Forget about that.
Yeah. Although it is a great name.
Yeah. We can't get into that.
We can't get into that. Not on this podcast.
No.
You guys want to know about it, ask us later. Ask me later. I still probably won't tell you anyway. But... Regardless,
sworn secrecy.
Yeah, we get up there together and we're
figuring it out. We're like,
and the first thing you ask me is, "What do we do?" I don't know what to do, which is the first time I've ever heard that out of your mouth. Because generally, when we've hunted together, it's always been Dwayne. What do you want to do? Where do you want to go? What's the game plan?
Right.
Today, I felt a little more like a field general. I was like, "Hey, I know this land.
Yeah.
Let's do this. Let's go here.
I didn't know what to do because I'd never been there before.
Yeah. And granted, that's a situation that unless you've been in, I don't think there's any other way to go about it. Like, the whole time that we drove from now this section of land to your place, I was racking my mind on what we could have done differently. And, you know, let's get into that after we finish the story.
Yeah.
So, they watched us. We thought that they were watching us like a hawk. Like, they had eyes
on them. It was bad. I was giving you these signals as you were coming in.
Yeah, and they kept poking their head up and poking their head up and just watching and watching.
And we're like, what the heck? Like, you're in cover. You're not making much noise. Like,
we're both really concealed well.
Yeah. And, you know, you get up to me and we're like, well, okay. Yeah, I ask you the question and we're convening there and I'm not sure what to do and we've got eyes on the buck still and I kind of shimmy up that hill again.
Yeah.
And we're like, we're sitting tight there and we're checking them out on the glass again. And,
on the glass and tit.
Yeah, on the little glass and tit there, boys. And I think you turned around, right?
Yeah, I don't know why. I honestly think I was stretching my neck or something and turned around.
Looking south and all of a sudden, holy cow, there's three does on the field.
Like, what? Well, exactly where we were sitting when we saw the first two bucks.
So that's about 80 yards away.
If 80, that.
80, 90, yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, golly.
We are sandwiched between
big bucks
and
big bodied does.
Yeah.
They were looking nice.
They were looking ready for the barbecue.
I'd say.
Oh, the strappy straps on those girls.
Dang.
Get in there. So, at that point, we realized that these bucks aren't watching us.
No, they're watching these does.
They're watching the does. They have no idea we're here. As far as we know, they have no idea we're here.
Yeah.
You know, maybe some noise from me walking to join you, but about, like, I'm confident saying that they were watching the does.
I agree.
So.
And we were none the wiser.
No. They came in just like that, and they were feet from the watering hole.
Yeah.
From that pond. So, very shortly after we noticed the does, they got wind of us, and tails flipped in the air, and gone they were.
Well, we had kind of like, well, what do we do now?
Yeah.
Do we go after these does?
And I think from my point of things, I knew that if we made a move on those does, they were going to spook. Like, yeah. I knew that there wasn't a chance we were getting those does.
And by this time, the wind had ever so slightly picked up.
Yeah. Just enough to notice it. Like, just enough to notice it. And so they spooked off.
So there's three of them and the tails went up and...
And the bucks didn't move.
The bucks didn't move.
No, so we tried. I mean, we tried everything. We were grunting. We were bleeding. We were...
Yeah. And by this time, we're like running out of light.
Yeah, it's getting dark fast. And I remember you asked me, well, what do we do? What's the move? You know, what's the game plan here? And I think I said it right there. I said, I think our best bet is going to be just let's wait them out.
Wait them out and then we'll back out of here.
Yeah, we'll back out and, you know, hit them tomorrow.
Yeah.
See if we can get them tomorrow. And so that's exactly what we did. I think that was the hardest decision, at least for me, I had to make right there, was saying, okay, if we go after these deer, we're going to be trying too hard. Like, now we're going to be forcing it.
I was pretty set on having to back out of there because I knew that we couldn't stalk them down the field. That would never work.
Yeah. The only way that we could would have been in the drainage, but it's so full of water.
So full of water. And I didn't know the trail.
Yeah.
So I didn't trust it. So I had completely blocked that off in my mind.
And the other thing is, too, that trail, like, the trail's great, but it's that section of bush between the trail and the field that is thick.
Yeah.
And there's no good way to get through there.
No. You'd have to hope that they cross right in front of you.
Yeah.
Which would be possible, and there'd be enough cover to probably take a shot, but...
But these deer are also 50, 60 yards from that tree line.
Yeah.
Right? So they're, it's not like they're close enough to...
Well, three and four were probably close enough for a shot.
Yeah, they were back quite a ways down the field yet. But... So we decided at that point that our game plan was going to be to hold off.
To step off.
To let them be comfortable. And let them, you know, do their thing, and we'll pull out and end up... As soon as we stood up, we watched them for a while, and you had made a hand gesture, and it looked like a tail.
Yeah.
And
they just kind of buggered off down the field.
And they stopped right at the fence line for a little bit, and then they took off.
Yeah. I wouldn't say took off, they just...
Well, not took off, but they went about their day.
Yeah. Just carried on.
So...
And we backed out.
That's the story. We walked out.
Empty-handed,
tags unnotched, full of adrenaline.
Fit for another day.
Full of adrenaline. I mean, I was so excited that all went down today. Like, yeah, it was wild. Absolutely wild to me. I feel like the video of Joe Rogan after he pinwheeled that
elk,
that's how I felt today.
Yeah.
Like, I was just, remember how I was telling you last podcast, I was saying, like, I don't know how I'm fired up for hunting season.
Yeah. I thought you were joking.
It's back.
Yeah.
Like, every flame that's ever burnt for hunting, it's back.
It's back.
After an experience like that.
Like Anderson Silva says, I back.
Yeah, I back.
I back.
Yeah. We're not here to take part.
We're here to take over.
We're here to take over. When one of us go to war, we all go to war. Anyway.
But it's not war, man. Not war. Everybody it's compares it to war. Like, yeah. My ears are fighting.
It's
a fight. Yeah. Anyways.
It's one-on-one. Anyway.
So,
you know, like I was saying before, the whole time I was driving here, I was thinking, what could we have done differently? And, you know, what would have garnered better results? And no matter which way, and I mean, maybe, you know, in the next couple days or weeks, as I have, you know, a little more time to process everything that happened today, I might be able to think of one. But as of where I stand right now, I think we actually got the best result we could have hoped for in that situation.
I think our only option was to go down that trail and hope for the best.
And even that because Phil was right close to that tree line, I still think it would have been a hard sell to not bust him out of there.
I feel like at one point he was probably 50 yards onto the alfalfa.
At one point, yeah.
And I think that would have been the time we would have had to go down the trail.
Yeah. But that also meant giving up our only visual.
Exactly.
And that's where it's tough.
And Cy was probably 25 yards into the alfalfa, and 3 and 4 were still further back to the north.
But
However, they were close. They were tight in. So, I mean, granted, they might not have noticed us, but until Phil and Cy decided to turn around and come back into the bush, we were hooped. And typically, as darkness draws near and becomes dark, they're not going to be heading back to the bush line right away.
No,
they're going to be, if anything, they're going to advance onto the field further.
A little more open chance to see predators and stuff.
Yeah.
Which, like I said, you know what? I think for the decisions we made in, like, the snap decisions we made, I think we made every right decision tonight.
I think so. We had to.
Including not going after them. Mm-hmm. I think that's going to be a saving grace. Because if we go, you know, we go back there in the next week, those deer aren't, in theory, they're not going to be none the wiser. And it's just life for them now.
And for them, we had the perfect wind.
Yep. Yeah, there was no way for, you know, all it would have taken would have been Phil walking another maybe 20 yards south. And this would be a very different podcast.
Yeah.
We probably wouldn't be podcasting right now.
No.
We would be sitting outside with blades in our hands.
Working.
Probably with the grill on.
Yeah.
I would say there would be some heart being grilled up.
Yeah. Being smoked.
However, that's not where we're at. So I got to ask the question.
Okay.
Was there a point where you're like, okay, it's not tonight? Like, was there a point where you're like, you know, your heart sank and you were like, okay, I have to come to terms with tonight's not the night I'm tagging out?
Especially on a deer like that.
When I asked you to come up to me, I knew already, like, this is not going to happen. That was the moment? Yeah.
Yeah. It was very close to that for me, too. And for me, it was when he went into the bush the first time.
By then, I guess I'd come to the realization that my adrenaline had already kind of subsided somewhat.
Yeah.
Because also, I couldn't see him anymore. So I was, my whole getting fired up, like that he was close, was all based on your reactions.
Yeah.
And then I saw your reactions change, and you lost him, lost the visual, and then you regained it, but he was further back, and I could tell by your body language, like, okay, this is not as good as it was.
Yeah.
So then I guess I got slightly frustrated. Like, come on, man, you gotta be coming my way. Like, come on, give me a break, like, give me a shot. And then I was beginning to realize, like, this is not gonna come to fruition today. Maybe I'm just too bloody level-headed, I don't know.
I think, I think for the most part, we both did a really good job of handling our emotion.
Yeah.
Throughout.
Like, I was getting fired up, but I guess...
But you know what? It's different because you didn't have the eyes on. Like, if you would have been able to see him and watch him come in, I could almost guarantee that would have been a different statement.
Yeah.
Because, like, watching him come in, walking in, and his head is doing the sway.
Yeah.
Right? And I'm watching his breastbone move, and, like, I can see him just creeping in, and I'm watching through my binoculars, and, like, dog, it, like...
He's there.
You're right there. Like, honestly, I was almost ready to tell you, stand up and take a shot. Because it would have been, almost head-on shot.
Yeah.
It would have really
which closed. Is feasible.
Quartering two.
Yeah.
But.
Put it right above the brisket.
Right above the brisket. But, like, I'm sitting there trying, like.
Right tight to that.
Yeah, trying to just maintain my composure, thinking, okay, I'm not taking the shot, but I gotta, if I don't play this right, I'm going to be the one that spooks this deer.
Yeah.
Right? Because I'm, at this point, the most vulnerable.
You're the only one visible.
Yeah. Like, you were so nicely tucked away there that he would have never seen you.
No.
But.
And I'm confident that you would have been able to figure something out to keep, if he had any attention to give to us, you would have been able to take that attention.
Oh yeah.
And draw him towards you, or to keep his focus
on. I was ready to put my bow up by my head and just, make it look like antlers, and
we should touch on that.
We should, yeah. Anything else you want to share on the film and Psy saga? I guess part one?
Part one.
How if you were to take the whole day, the whole excursion of that hunt, with the amount of deer we saw, the amount of antlered critter.
We saw 13 deer?
13 or 14 deer.
Yeah.
The amount of antlered critter we saw, how would you, like, on a scale, on an excitement scale, 1 to 10, what's that for you? Like, how excited were you when you started seeing bucks and then realizing that Phil was a bruiser?
That's about a...
Like, were you pretty fired up when you realized he was big?
I'm going to set that at about a 9.25.
Okay. Okay, I was going to go with a 9. Like, I was jacked.
Yeah, I'd go 9 to 9.25.
I was ready
right about there.
Do just about anything to get that deer in the back of my truck box.
Yeah. Or my box. Mindset completely changed from, looking for a doe. I was like, hey, we're going for this guy.
Yeah, I'm ready. Right now. I'm ready to end my season.
Yep.
On a deer like that, any year.
Let's make it happen.
Any year.
Oh. Absolutely.
Huge.
Absolutely.
Huge. I can't believe, for me, the standout moment was sitting or standing in that alfalfa field, looking through my binoculars, and being like, Dwayne, that's a giant. I'm pretty sure I said it like 4 times
because
I didn't even believe it. It didn't sound right coming out of my mouth.
And I was like,
Dwayne, that's a giant.
It's like, what?
Dwayne, that's a giant. And it, like, almost like I spoke it into fruition, but he was there the whole time.
And I was like, what?
What? That didn't even make sense to me saying
what?
Yeah, it was crazy.
Like, give me your binoculars. And he kept saying, that's a giant, that's a giant. I look.
Sure enough.
Can confirm. Some would call that a toad.
Can confirm giant. I mean, he's no Alberta giant. No. But he was big for our area.
I would confidently venture a guess of a non-dressed weight of being upwards of 300 pounds.
Oh, yeah.
I'd be very confident. If you say upwards of 300, does that mean
more 300 than 300?
I'd say right around 300.
Yeah. Be hovering around that heavyweight mark.
Yeah.
He'd be missing weight in the heavyweight division.
He'd have to cut, boy. Because super heavyweight doesn't exist anymore. Oh. In MMA, at least.
I'm going to be dreaming about that deer tonight.
But
you know what? Like, one thing that I think we handled really well was that whole scenario. Like, that's one thing I'm really proud of. Because even last year, like, when we were hunting the white shell, there was times where I felt like we didn't handle situations right. You know, like, with that big hoofed critter that ran up the embankment.
Yeah.
We went after it right away. Which, all things being fair, yeah, that was probably the right decision. But I felt like there was, you know, different times where it's like, hey, we didn't handle that right.
Yeah.
Like, if we were going to do this again, we need to change our tactic or whatever, right? But the whole time, I don't know if it's a maturity thing or we just made the right calls today, but I think today, we made every right decision and we walked away with the most successful option we could have had.
I agree.
I don't think there was any other... There's nothing we could have done to get that deer in.
No. I tried everything I had.
Tried everything.
I tried. One thing that was coming through my mind when I thought about going down that drainage to go and see if I could head him off.
Yeah.
Was about 4 years ago when I was bear hunting, I used to bear bait. It was a bush line off of a hay field. So into the bush, it was pretty thick. We'd bait in there, and oftentimes the bears would, it was down the tree line to the north, they would come out onto the hay and graze.
Yeah.
Especially in springtime. And one time, me and a buddy, we tried to stalk down that tree line with bows, and we got to within about 75 yards of that bear was absolutely massive. It was close to like a 7-foot bear. It was really huge. It was huge. I have got pictures of that guy. That guy's huge. One of the biggest bears I've ever had on camera. We got to about 75 yards, and he noticed us, and he just stepped off. And I thought, that's what I was going through my mind today. I was like, that scenario replayed and replayed. And I was like, okay, it's probably not going to work out in our favor to stalk down this drainage and this bush line along this low... Alfalfa's not very tall, and it's been cut probably a month and a half ago or something. I don't know.
A little less than probably a month ago, yeah. Like, it's not very tall. I mean...
Like 6 inches.
Roughly. I mean, obviously, looking back on it now, you can... It's easier to say, yeah, like, we could have definitely stalked him down the drainage or on the trail side, but I think if you consider with how much water's in that drainage... Yeah. How tall those bull rushes are, like, that's a lot of movement for the, you know, for that deer to just try and sit put. And the fact that, you know, if he would have been...
There was three other sets of eyes in the field, and that easily, was another thing.
Never mind behind us, yeah, how long they were there.
We had no idea.
Yeah. So, like I said, I think we walked away with the most successful option we could have.
Yeah.
I mean, part of me was saying, screw it, let's try it. Like... We might never have an opportunity to stalk a deer again, right? Like, why not practice stalking? I've never stalked an animal like that. So why not practice it? But then, you know, the common sense in me was like, no, like, don't blow this deer out of here. It's a big deer. Like, give yourself... lose the battle today, win the war tomorrow. You know what I mean? Like, play the long game a little bit.
Yeah. I've done a little bit of stalking on whitetails.
Okay.
It hasn't worked out for me yet, but One thing this year that I've actually found has worked out for me twice. This was on a small buck and a doe and a fawn. And I was walking through a baled hay field. So I could go in between these round bales, but a lot of the time I was in the, out in the open so they could watch me.
Yeah.
Now, it works best in the dying light, so about sunset or just before sunset, where I would walk through the field, going from bale to bale, trying to keep as much cover as possible. But I would hold my bow up in front of my face to emulate antlers.
Yeah.
And at one point, when I was walking towards this doe and fawn, they saw me, they turned towards me, and they were actually pretty near, like, getting after it to come my direction.
A nice lope.
A nice lope. They were getting fired up, like, oh, there's a little buck on the field here. Let's
go. Might as well go say hi.
Yeah. Now, granted, that time the wind was not was in their favor, so they caught me.
Yeah.
However, it worked. It brought them in, like, they started at about probably 200, 250. I closed it to about 150. They got to about 75.
Yeah.
They blew me off. But, like, they turned, they saw me, and they, it was like geese coming into decoys that were sold. Like, it was, yeah.
They were coming.
And it was like, I was completely not expecting that.
I'm just trying
to. I was just walking with my bow in the air because it was, my shoulder was sore.
Yeah.
I was at first, and I realized, oh, I'm going to hold this in front of my face and see what happens. And sure enough, it worked on two occasions.
Hmm. Might be something to remember.
Yeah, it might be something to remember. I mean, I'm not going to swear by it and say it's going to work in every situation. I mean, the lower the light, the better, obviously, for that.
Yeah.
But just the fact that it worked for me on two times, like, I mean, I was kind of shocked. Maybe not shocked, but I was definitely surprised and pleasantly surprised. Like, all of a sudden, this tactic is working out for me. I mean, granted, I didn't shoot either of those opportunities.
Yeah. But,
like, it was working. And I was, yeah, I was like, oh.
Well, you know, good Lord willing, we'll have the opportunity to try it out.
Sometime
soon. In the near future.
Yeah. We'll see what the weather says.
Yeah. I guess we're kind of in a bit of a waiting game now for Mother Nature to give us a chance. And
yeah.
Hopefully the next time that we can
podcast,
we can record, there'll be a bit of a different tune in the air.
Maybe Phil or Cy will be
a different smell in the air. Hindquarters. Yeah, there might be a different smell in the air.
Yeah.
There might be a couple full tummies.
Mmm. Some of that caul fat being wrapped around some tenderloins or some heart.
Mmm.
And keep that caul fat, folks. Keep the caul fat. I learned that from Meat Eater last year. I kept the caul fat from my deer last year.
Sort of.
Good grief.
So good. I did the caul fat meatballs.
Okay.
So good.
I wrapped, what did I do? I wrapped the tenderloins, I think it was, and I wrapped the heart.
Yeah.
Like, I diced up the heart. I wrapped it, and I did the tenderloins as well, and it was so good. Barbecued it, and I did it on the propane barbecue.
I have a hard time wrapping tenderloins in caul fat.
It was so good.
I know, but it's like the tenderloins, like, it's such a... That's like the high value meat.
I know, but it was next level. Yeah. It was next level. I'm not kidding.
I don't think that I'd bring the tenderloin. Like, if I killed that deer, or you killed that, well, you killed the deer, it's a different story. But if I were to kill Phil, and you were with me, there'd be a fire being made very, very quickly. I'd fry them up pretty quick. I don't like saving them. I think they're the best fresh.
I'd do strapped. I'd want to get them out of there, get them hung up, and then
take them out.
I'd hang them up that night or that day.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
And I'd take those things out right away and probably fire them up then.
Oh, yeah, that's what I mean. Like, I would.
Yeah.
I mean, I probably wouldn't hang him. I'd probably cut him out and
My goal, if we're hunting local, then my goal is to get that thing hung up as fast as.
Oh yeah, local for sure. Yeah. But I mean, like, if we're in the white shell.
Oh yeah, that's a different story.
If I killed Phil, I'd probably have his back strapped pretty quick.
Like, I'm not doing it there where we're hunting there.
I would. I'd have no problem with that. I always got a pot and pan in my backpack.
Okay.
Or a pan and some butter.
I would definitely take him home and do my home. That's fair. I'd probably fire up the pit boss and throw him on there. That's fair. Although, when you got a fresh deer, you kind of got to just build a fire.
Yeah, you got to do it. That's what I mean. Like, you got to do it over an open fire.
Yeah. And you kind of just got to do that.
And you eat everything off the same knife that you butchered the deer with. Yeah.
Absolutely. That's part of it.
I did that with my spread buck.
Okay.
I built a fire and I made, after I had him loaded up, I made a tenderloin.
Okay.
I saved one for at home.
Yeah.
But it didn't last very long because got home and I was like, yeah, fired up.
Fired up. Well, you got any shower thoughts for the day?
Shower thoughts for the day. Expect the unexpected.
Look both ways.
Look both ways.
This is your shower thought, not mine.
Yeah, no, I like that though. And you know what? Sometimes a failure isn't a failure. Like today, we failed at shooting a deer, but we succeeded in not blowing 13 deer out of a field because we were A, too immature to be patient.
Mm-hmm.
We were not impatient, and we were able to level-headedly make a smart, rational decision with two absolute shooters in a field 100 yards away from us. And we were able to look at each other and go, no, I think our best bet's to back out.
Yeah.
As much as I wanted you to run after that deer and slang an arrow at 60 yards.
Lord knows I would have caught up to him.
That's what those 10Ks are for. But your knees have been hurting today, so.
Well, that would have been besides the point. You know, I run my fastest 10K ever today.
That's true.
In between knee pains. I was shocked.
That's impressive.
Felt good. Felt horrible this morning in the willow blind and felt horrible later on.
Yeah.
While we were kneeling along that alfalfa.
Yeah, that sucked.
But God, it felt good running that 10K today, boy.
That's the Lord's work.
That is doing the Lord's work.
PTL, praise the Lord. But I think that was a big sign of maturity for us.
Yeah.
To be able, because I know, you know, even as early as 2 years ago, I would have been, let's go after him. Like, what's the point? Like, I want to kill a big deer. Not, let's play the long game.
Yeah, we never would have killed that deer today.
Never. We would have done more damage than we did good. Easily. Yeah.
That would have been unhuntable. Like,
I would have had to let that sit for weeks.
Yeah, weeks. I would guess. Although, you never know.
Never know, but I probably wouldn't have went back there for 2 weeks.
No.
At least just to give them time. What about you? Shower thoughts?
I think just to remember that patience and quote-unquote unsuccessful hunts are possibly blessings in disguises. Like, I've had it before. Like, when I shot that 5x4 down at the farm, I seen him the night before. Actually, no, sorry. I seen him 2 days before that evening. I seen him on the Saturday, and I shot him that Monday morning.
Yeah.
I seen him come on the field, and I didn't go out. Like, he was still bastard up in early October with three other small bucks. I was close to being able to shoot one of the smaller bucks, and I let them pass, and my uncle was in the tractor working the cattle in the back there, and he had stopped. He was sitting in the tractors watching because he could see this big body coming out of the bush before I could. And I finally caught eyes on him, and we were talking about it later on. Like, holy cow, like, we've seen these three smaller fellas come up, but we've seen this big body in the background. But
like, thank the good Lord, like, I didn't do something stupid, blow him out of there.
Try and force it.
Because less than 48 hours later, I was dragging
that guy. I got a picture. Buck down!
And I'm wearing that hat with the blood stains and stuff from that deer. So.
Yeah, I think.
Just gotta be patient sometimes. But again, sometimes you gotta go for it though.
I mean, it's all different. Like, it's situational awareness.
I think it comes with experience.
Absolutely. Like,
for instance, I'm gonna. One thing with goose hunting that me and most of the guys I go with, we've struggled with over the years, is that when they come in but don't decoy perfectly and then they want to circle around, but they're circling around and giving you a potential shot, we'll let them circle around, circle around, circle around, and they'll bugger off. But this year, me and some of the boys, we made a pact that we're not, if we have a shot, like if we know that we can kill them, like, we're not talking about sky busting, but we're talking about if they're on the corner and we know that we can kill them, and instead of letting them circle around and bugger off, we're gonna take shots.
Yeah.
And so far, it has paid off in dividends.
Yeah.
It has worked out.
Oh, absolutely. I've always said it too. Like, there's a time to be gutsy.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, it's tonight we weren't on day 9 of a 10-day elk hunt.
No.
Where it's like, okay, like, we have to get
out of here. Well, then we would have gone for it.
Exactly. You know what I mean?
That's a different scenario, though.
We are, well, in a way, we're also just about the end of September with muzzle not opening for another month.
Just about
a month.
Three weeks.
Yeah. You know, we still have lots of time to have just us hunting, right? Just the archers hunting. And for me, you know, I how do I word this? You play the long game a little bit and you hope that it's going to pay off. You know what I mean? On a situation like tonight.
Yeah.
Where if it was 2 weeks later, like if we had tonight in second week October, that buck's coming to your grunts.
Probably.
He's probably coming to your bleats. Right? Like, you know what I mean? Like, it was a little early.
The game changes is different.
Yeah. Like, every day gets a little bit closer to the rut.
Yeah.
You know, they get a little more agitated. They get a little more irritated with the buddies that they've been hanging out with.
Yeah, they're not out of the lake anymore.
No, man. No. They're hardly even texting.
Yeah.
They're like, I don't want to go see Cy. Are you kidding me?
Phil,
are
you kidding me? I'm not going to see that guy.
No, that guy's an idiot.
That guy's a piece of work.
He's walking in the middle of an alfalfa field.
He's getting fired up.
Yeah.
But we're going to fight later on today.
But he's pissing on himself.
Yeah.
What a tool.
What a piece of work. The guy's incontinent. He's practicing incontinence. That means you relieve yourself on yourself.
Really?
If you suffer from incontinence. I believe so.
That sounds like you're in a continent.
I'm going to Google that real quick.
I was going to say incompetence is something else. That's another English word.
English.
But, I think...
Incontinence. Lack of voluntary control over urination or defecation.
No more than I do.
So.
Thanks, Google.
There, I was right.
You were right.
Well, that's about it for the day.
Concludal thoughts are done. Remember that was at the beginning.
Yeah.
Concludal thoughts.
We were trying to knock off Meat Eater and Tommy Lahren.
Yeah. We've knocked off a few people on this podcast. That's okay.
It's a podcast. We can do whatever we want.
Freedom of speech, boy. Get in there.
This podcast is brought to you by Labatt Light and Budweiser. We hope you have a great day.